This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Watch Matt Bowen. Bowen's a tough guy.
Matt Bowen.
And it's intercepted by Matt Bowen.
Miller, ton of time. But the coverage is good with Matt Bowen.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
He's a really eloquent meathead.
That's his rap persona. Eloquent meathead.
The eloquent meathead.
Yeah, I think he would probably be okay with that.
Oh, he'd 100% sign off on that.
I was listening to that. Yeah, I actually am. I'm okay with it. If Anthony said it, I'm always good with Anthony. Don't worry about that.
7-year NFL veteran.
Blitz coming from Bowen, and he knocks it out. The Redskins fall on top of it. Matt Bowen's been the guy applying all the pressure.
Defensive back coach for IC Catholic football.
Hey, I met Matt Bowen at a Starbucks this afternoon. I'd never met.
That must have been big for you.
I was really happy. Yeah.
How'd you know it was Matt Bowen?
Because he had a name tag.
Matt Bowen.
I have a simple rule with beer. I only drink beer that you can buy in 30 packs. So that, I'll leave you with that.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
I got to say, I've been dying to talk with Matt about what's happened with the Bears over the last week and what he thinks of the philosophy and a breakdown of the players. He's been providing that to folks on Twitter and on Instagram. And let me just say that if you are not following Matt, especially on Instagram, because he puts stuff on Twitter too, but Matt Bowen 41, it's a great vehicle for you to learn about the game. He puts up video, he breaks down tape for you. It is excellent stuff. So he joins us now here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Matt, thanks for joining us. It is much appreciated. What direction would you like to go in first when talking about what the Bears have done?
I think you want to start on the offensive side of the ball, right? Just because we knew going into free agency that was a position of need. And you talk about the interior of the offensive front. And I think this is a great example of Ryan Poles working with a new head coach and identifying exactly what they want, exactly what they need, being aggressive, being mature in free agency, identifying key players, but also key leaders that you can add to the offensive line. We'll get to the defensive line as well. But you start with someone like Joe Tooney, what he can bring to that offensive line room. In addition to his play, he's still a top five player at the position, but the leadership he brings, the championship teams he's played for, working with Patrick Mahomes, working with Tom Brady, that's hard to find, guys. And it completely changes the focus of your offensive line room, how you practice, how you prepare, because now all your young players, and especially your young quarterback, can look to a player like Tooney and say, this is how it's done. This is how I want to prepare as well.
You know, it's interesting, Matt. I've been thinking about all offseason. Boy, they need a tone setter, somebody who changes the offensive line room. And I've been thinking about it in terms of the physicality of a mauler, you know, like an ass kicker, right? But the way you're talking about, Tooney's got enough of that. Like Andy Reid said, he's tough, dirty tough, he said. So he's got enough of that, but he also has the personal stuff and the leadership like you're talking about, right?
He does. And I think that is so valuable. I go back to, you know, teams I played on and the great leaders I was around and how much you just learn just how to prepare for Sunday, you know, starting on Monday morning, how it can completely change your focus and what you look for and how you're going to change your preparation. Having a leader like that, that tells you what to do, even if they're not a vocal leader, just watching how they do things can add years to your career, make you a better football player. Especially when you're talking about the offensive line. I think I've said this to you guys before. There's two units, the offensive line and the secondary, where communication, being on the same page, having chemistry matters more than any position in the league. So when you have a leader at the top of that group, it does change a lot.
Was Sean Taylor that guy for you? Like the vet that kind of helped you figure out how you were going to do things?
We lose Matt?
I think we lost Matt.
Yeah. I thought he was really thinking about that one.
He loves Sean Taylor.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, like he, like that's, I think that's one of his guys. When we reestablish, I'll ask him the question again about it because like that's important. Like those are those things where like we can speculate on it as people who are outside of the of it, but it's different when it's a guy that's in the locker room. So before you got cut off, Matt, I was asking about Sean Taylor. Was he that guy for you where you were watching what he was doing and how he was getting ready? I think we lost him again.
Yeah. I don't know.
The sidelines completely got Matt Bowen.
Something happened.
It's a new board. Bilal, there's all there? Sorts of things.
Bilal, you there, man? All right.
It's not Bilal Nichols.
No. I think
he was definitely just thinking.
Yeah, Bilal?
Yeah.
No, he just left. He had enough. Yeah, Bilal had enough. But Bilal was like, I gotta go. I told you 8 minutes. It's been seven. We're good. We're good. Good night, everybody.
Matt, are you back with us?
I am. All right. Just hanging out. What's going on?
All right. Yeah, we lost you there for a second. I thought you were being, you know, very like solemn and really thinking about my question about Sean Taylor, but I'll ask it again. Was Sean Taylor one of those guys like Tooney where as a fellow defensive back, you're watching and seeing like, what does this guy do? How does he get himself ready?
Yeah, and that's rare for a young player too. You know, 'cause I was older than Sean. Most of us were in that secondary when we drafted Sean in Washington, and just watching a young player who was so professional, so mature in his approach to the game of football and how he practiced. And that's the thing I always say about Sean Taylor. One, obviously, he was a great teammate, but also how he practiced. And that means a lot. When you see someone who has maximum effort, maximum attention to detail, is so focused on alignment and start, you know, basic things that when you get into league, sometimes you look past and you see a young player like Sean Taylor, who was so focused and so determined to win practice. And when you have players like that in your football team, what does it do? Everyone else wants to join in, right? Everyone else starts to follow your lead. And that is why it's so important to have those leaders when you're talking about the O-line and the secondary.
Hey, Matt, when Ben Johnson was asked about his coaching staff, he said, you know, I didn't go out and hire a bunch of my friends. And then he proceeded to rattle off a bunch of dudes from different schemes. There's Declan Doyle from the Sean Payton tree, right? There's Eric Bieniemy with the QB option stuff and Andy Reid. Right. There's Press Taylor from the Chip Kelly stuff, you know? It's like, and that's so exciting. I wonder what he can do now with three vets in the middle, you know, like schematically. We know he loves outside zone, but he can do more than that, can he?
Sure, you can run inside zone, you can run more gap when you need to, and more importantly, you can create a pocket for Caleb Williams. I think it's the number one thing here. You know, edge pressure is one thing. Interior pressure changes everything. When you get pressure in the A and B gaps, there's nowhere to step up. I use the term reset your throwing window. You can't do that. You don't have time. You don't have room. Yes, quarterbacks have to throw in heavy traffic. That's part of being an NFL quarterback. But if you can protect a young player like Caleb Williams, and now you get Ben Johnson and his offensive scheme, which is going to force him to throw more on time at a consistent rate, now you're playing winning football. Yes, the run game is so important. It is going to be the foundation of every NFL offense. We were talking about developing a young quarterback, keeping him off the ground, but more importantly, giving him room to operate so he can buy more time for himself, but do it within the pocket, not eject, not look to escape. Stay in that pocket, start to master that pocket, and that's where you're going to become a high-level quarterback.
What does Drew Dalman look like on tape?
Athletic, easy mover, technician, wins with leverage and assignment, can climb to the second level, can cut off linebackers. I think he's much better in pass protection than given credit for. You know, we track pass block win rate at ESPN. Last year he was at 95.1. That's top 10 among all centers in the league. And obviously an easy fit for outside zone. But even in gap, when you're talking about gap schemes, it's going to be double and climb. That's what he's going to do. I think it's a great addition. We talked about it before. This was a priority target for them. And again, they went out and made a mature decision, got the deal done, and said, we're going to get better up front. This is how we're going to do it. And look, they're following a model. I think everyone, if you look around the league right now, look what Minnesota did the last couple of days, what they're doing on the defensive front. Everyone watched that Super Bowl. Everyone who knows football at any level says we have to control both fronts. And that's what the Bears did in free agency. They went out and got quality players, and they got leaders on both sides of the defensive line so they can be a better football team up front.
Man, that pass block win rate stat is great for Dolman. Both the guards graded out well in pass block win rate, too. We talked about that when they were signed. I always wonder what the GMs and what Ben Johnson was looking at statistically. In addition, that seems like a big deal. You know, keep it clean for Caleb up the middle for all three of those guys.
It is. And Jonah Jackson, if we go back to last year, because look, this year for Jonah Jackson had an injury. And guys, my last year in the league, I missed training camp in Buffalo. You're behind for the entire season. You're behind. That's just how, if you can't practice in the summer, it really disrupts your entire football season. So I wasn't there in L.A. I can't speak to it. But if I go back to 23 in the tape when he was with Detroit with Ben Johnson, when I had my top 100 list in 23, Jonah Jackson was a top 15 for me.
How would
and Spies mentioned the word tone setter.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he is.
That's
where you want to run the football. That's what he is. He is nasty. He's a finisher. He's more powerful than athletic. I'll tell you what, he can open daylight for a running back.
Oh, boy. So him and Darnell next to each other ought to be some fun in the run game?
It should. Yes.
How would you use Grady Jarrett at this point in his career?
I would try to get him around 35 to 40 snaps. Okay, because the Bears are building depth now on the defensive line. And with Grady, I think that's someone that, especially in passing situations, where you can put him in a situation where he has fresh legs in those situations, he's going to be disruptive for you. He's going to get to the quarterback. You might not have 10, 12 sacks, but you're talking about someone that can create an interior push, that can win one-on-ones. Remember this with Dennis Allen now, guys. You're going to see a lot of different fronts, much different than last year with Matt Eberflus. Okay, there's going to be more loaded or schemed fronts. He's going to create one-on-ones, and he can move a player like Grady Jarrett around, especially in sub-packages, to get home to the quarterback. And again, like we're talking about with Tooney, Grady Jarrett, that's a leader now. That's a leader. That's someone who's been with one football team for 10 years in Atlanta. That's hard to do, guys, in this league. It's hard to do, stay with one team for 10 years. It says a lot about him, a lot about his football character, and more importantly, his football leadership skills.
Tell us more about the difference up front between what Eberflus did and what you suspect Dennis Allen will do.
Well, I mentioned the loaded fronts. You're going to see more schemed fronts and more stunts. A lot of, you know, two-man games, three-man games up front. Well, they will try to create free rush lanes, but more importantly, try to create matchups. You're talking about someone like Dial, you know, when they brought in Dial, right?
Yep.
Well, if you can put him inside, okay, because he did that in Indianapolis, it's on the tape. If you can put him inside as a defensive tackle, but load your fronts, okay? So now he's going to be wider. Still a defensive tackle, but wider. What does that do? That gives you a running start as an offensive guard. That's what it does. You're creating angles, but you're also creating matchups. Well, now we have someone who's 6'6", 286 pounds, with a head start on the guard. Okay, that's a win. That's what you're trying to do. And Dennis Allen, I love his front because there'll be multiple. You'll have guys playing multiple spots on that defensive line, and he will get the matchup he wants based on the personnel they see every week.
We were talking a little bit about this with AB yesterday. I think that there's an opportunity to do some of that with Jervon Dexter, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. Don't forget about Dexter, okay? Because you have a defensive line rotation now, right? That's what you're building. That's what you're building. We get multiple edge rushers, multiple interior players. So you can send waves of pass rushers at the quarterback, in addition to what you do in your early downs, to be able to fit up the run game. But more importantly, when we talk about NFL football today, it's the ability to hit the quarterback. And the Bears are building depth to do that.
Yeah, looking at the snap counts from last year in Atlanta, Grady Jarrett, usually around 70% of the snaps, so 48 sometimes, 48. Mm-hmm. One time it was up at 60, but it was still at 70%. So that's a touch more than what you're talking about, but that would be a way to utilize him. What is it like if he's next to Andrew Billings in the middle of that defensive line?
I think it's pretty good. I think it's really good because you have a disruptor in Jarrett and you have Billings as someone who could hold the point all day long. That's his job, to hold the point all day long. Keep those linemen so he can occupy two. When you can demand two at the line of scrimmage, that changes everything about your defense because now your linebackers are free to cut off and tackle the ball carrier, right? So I like that in early downs, but also when you're talking about Dexter on early downs, he could be there too.
It's funny because I think we all look at these moves and say this is here so that Caleb Williams can be better. And I think that we're all right in that regard. I also think that they're putting some responsibility on Caleb too. They're giving him some agency and saying, look, we think you're so good that we went out and we did all of this stuff. You have to now maximize us going out and spending money to try and make you better.
I agree with that. And I'll say this. You know, the most developmental jump you make as a pro is from year one to year two. Because now you are a pro. You're not training for the combine. You're not training for a pro day. You have an off season as a professional athlete. And for Caleb Williams, that's a huge part of it. But also coming back in year two, knowing the personnel he's going to see when they play Green Bay, Minnesota, and Detroit twice. Being more familiar with his wide receivers. Now, yes, he has to learn a new offensive system. I get that. But that's part of being a professional athlete. You're going to go through coaching changes, and that's part of your job. But I would expect him to make a jump this season. One, because of what it means to be a second-year player, to have the experience from his rookie season, to understand what worked and what didn't as a rookie, but also the personnel changes and the coaching changes that they've made this offseason. Yes, it is about the quarterback. You're right, Lawrence. It will always be about the quarterback. I think the Bears got better as a football team these past couple of days, no question about this, but it's still about the quarterback. You have to have production there to win on Sundays, and that's what they're planning for.
Matt, your top 100 free agents on ESPN was just indispensable, wonderful stuff. Give us a player or two that signed somewhere where you're like, man, that's a perfect fit, non-Bears.
I like two teams. I'll give you two teams. I like what Mike Vrabel did in New England. Milton Williams, interior playmaker, defensive tackle. Carlton Davis, veteran corner. And they added Robert Spillane as a linebacker. He's a CCL guy, played at Fenwick. He's a good fit for what they want to do defensively. And I like what Denver did. Dre Greenlaw, and they added Hufanga at safety. You get two playmakers there at the second and third level of your defense. Those are two teams I look at and say, I really like what they did.
Hey, one more thing, for me anyway. The guy that you told us about after Senior Bowl, who you fell in love with, Gray Zabel, he's flying up mock drafts, man. I saw him top 15.
I saw him Bears at 10.
Yeah, I don't. He can't play left tackle in the NFL though, can he? To start out,
I think he's probably a guard, and there's nothing wrong with that. You saw what guards are getting paid now in free agency. That is a premium position now because of the quick game, because of play action. But yeah, he is flying up, and that's a great example, Speaks, of how to go through the draft process like a pro. To go to the Senior Bowl and have a great week. To go to the combine, have a great combine. That's how you do it. It doesn't matter what level you play. This is an FCS kid in North Dakota State. It does not matter. If you take the proper steps and you go and you interview well, just like any job in the world, you can increase your stock, and that's what he's done.
Matt, as always, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for the education.
All right, guys, thank you.
It's Matt Bowen.
I saw that Heineken comes in a 30-pack.
He's not drinking.
I know, but it comes in a 30-pack.
I mean, he'll drink it if you have it, and that's all you have.
I know, but if his only qualification is 30-pack, I think he's got to increase the adjectives.
I think that's probably a little too highbrow for how Matt goes about his beer consumption.
Skunky. I remember the first time somebody said, here, try this. It's a Heineken. I was like, I don't see it. But then, you know, you go on, you grow up, you acquire some taste.
You know, some Natty Light is perfect. For our guy, Matt Bowen.
Yeah, he could have it.
He wants it.
Yeah, that's true. I'll leave it for him.
Yeah, he's good with that. Let's take a break. When we come back, coverage of the White Sox is a thing, and it took a blow today. We need to talk about that. And we need to talk a little bit about what this means from a media standpoint as well. It's next here on The Score.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Somebody sent me the article and I couldn't believe it. I did an article with Dan Schoen. I think that's his name.
Yeah, Daryl, yeah.
Yeah.
Daryl Vince Cowan, sometimes. Go ahead, Daryl.
Rick, how much of these decisions are sort of related to getting younger on your staff?
Again, I don't want to make this like Ricky or Coop or whomever's not back with us next year didn't buy into analytics or something like that. That's not fair. That's not fair at all. And the new manager may have a similar approach.
Welcome home, Hall of Famer Tony La Russa, next manager of the Chicago White Sox.
Next question from the Chicago Sun-Times, Daryl Van Scowen. Go ahead, Daryl.
Hey, this is for Tony. How far along, Tony, are you in terms of putting your staff together?
When you have something as good as what the White Sox had going last year, that's going to be looked at very closely, respected.
We got the news earlier today from the man himself. Daryl Van Scowen tweeted out earlier today, headline, Glendale, Arizona, hello. This is my 15th spring training covering the White Sox and 37th year with the Sun-Times. It shall be my last, shall be the last. Three kids, seven grandchildren, and one buyout later. It's the perfect time to call it a career. The Sox last day of camp will be mine as well.
Daryl's a very, very good beat writer. Been there a long time and is ready for this. I can say I texted him congratulations and hope he's good. And he said, thank you, Matt. We're happy. Like he's a happy dude with this moment. Sometimes people take those newspaper buyouts and they're bummed to be doing it. He's ready. So I'm glad for that for him.
Well, that amount of time for sure at one place, and I'm sure that he's sitting there like, I'm ready. And I also think that he's probably looking at the landscape and being like, what does this look like if I don't take the buyout? You know, like these are scary times, like in our business overall. I do want to try and center it a little bit on White Sox coverage.
Yeah, well, because thinking about that, if Daryl was to look at that and say, oh, I'm going to do another year, you know, it should be a more interesting year than last year in terms of things pointed in a decent direction. Last year was pointed all the way down.
Yeah, but you're probably still talking about a team that wins 51 games.
For sure. You know, a team that doesn't win a lot, that's for sure.
And that's hard on everyone. It's clearly been hard on people who work at the White Sox. It's hard on the players. We talked with Nicky Lopez about it a few weeks ago. It's hard. Like, to be in that situation where you don't feel like you can win every day, and when do people like let go of the rope, which is part of the reason I want them to trade Luis Robert, because I worry about the impact that it could continue to have on him, and I want to get the most value back for the White Sox, because they're not going to be good while he's still young enough to really make a difference for them as a player. But the kind of macro issue is, well, there's two macro issues. For the White Sox fan, this is not great.
Who's going to cover them for the Sun-Times?
I don't know. I mean,
is anybody going to cover them?
I imagine that someone will cover them, but
I mean, looking around, Lamon Pope covers for the Tribune.
Mm-hmm.
There is no White Sox beat writer on The Athletic.
John Greenberg has kind of been taking up the slack in that regard.
He does the heavy hitter stuff
every day.
No, I mean,
just writing about the team in the way that they had been doing before.
We remember when James Fegan was downsized from The Athletic, and he has landed at Sox Machine, which is an incredible blog and podcast now publication that's doing very well.
But see, this is also one of the issues inside of this is that whether it's the Sox Machine guys or the 108 guys or Locked on Sox or whomever, whatever the podcasting world has to offer, it is sometimes difficult for those entities to get credentialed because there is gatekeeping that goes on from the Baseball Writers Association of America.
Did Sox Machine guys get credentialed last year?
I think they eventually did, but I think it's a fight that they shouldn't have to fight.
Yeah, I can't speak on exactly how that went down. I'm interested in whether they did or not. Because that line between traditional media, obviously, as we know, and independent media, it's become a very blurry thing.
It's blurry, especially when you start seeing the type of downsizing that then. And the White Sox are kind of caught in it because then the White Sox are like, well, wait, is the Sun-Times going to cover us? Is the Athletic going to cover us? And the answer to that is yes, kind of. But then there are these outlets that are more niche that are covering every single day of it. And you want them to be able to spread the gospel of the White Sox.
Mm-hmm. There's a few teams that I know The Athletic does not have beat reporters for. There's.
Can I guess? Is it Sacramento's team?
I think they might have one.
That's
now.
Weird. What about Tampa?
After this offseason? Yeah, no, I don't have.
Well, that makes sense if they have one now.
Yeah.
With everything going on.
Right, with all the signings that have gone on. I don't have it. I don't have the specific teams. I'm sorry. I know I set you up for that. But
between 5 and 60 million, I think.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Because some of the California teams kind of share a beat writer. Like they'll have people that do
Angels, Dodgers,
Angels, Dodgers will share
Giants
a little bit.
And what used to
Giants,
be the A's.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. They'll have some share going on. But the White Sox are an interesting spot as the entities have gone away.
And you'll obviously get coverage on CHSN as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
you've got some coverage on CHGO. Vinny Duber's over there.
No, he got let go too. No.
Oh, he did. He did.
He hasn't tweeted since like December 24th.
Yeah. Oh wow. So it's Sean Anderson over there. Right?
Sean's doing stuff. Yeah. But remember, you know, he was doing the pod with Herbie, and Herbie got downsized too. Like it's. Right. It's
former hit and run producer Sean.
It's a
heard about that
an epidemic in the entire industry, including ours. Like, if you Google Odyssey, you'll see that there's been all sorts of stuff that's gone on with Odyssey over the last week or so. But when it comes to the coverage of a team, first, I do want to say that I think Daryl is exemplary in the way that he covers baseball. I think he's great at it. And his voice inside the beat will be missed because it's fair, but it's also no nonsense.
Yeah, there's a lot of respect for Daryl's perspective inside the baseball beat.
You know what I mean?
I do.
So that's missing. The other part is that the story should still be told. Even though it's a bad story, it should still be told at a granular level of how are the White Sox doing? When are they going to be competitive? Mm-hmm. Are they going to be competitive?
All right. Well, this is our moment to peel back the curtain and be honest and open about how much Sox we've done right here on this show. Sometimes we do things that matter from spring training, and it's been a little sporadic. Sometimes things that matter doesn't end up including too much White Sox because it's difficult to discern exactly what things matter. When we talk about it as a show, as a four-pack in the pre-show meeting, and we discuss what penetrates and what does not, like, I mean, I wasn't shocked. It was sad, but I wasn't shocked when the Athletic eliminated their beat writer.
Well, I have a lot of feelings about this. My first thought is I don't like that. I think there's a difference between what we do and what the Athletic does. I think one of the selling points of the Athletic was that your team was going to be covered.
Mm-hmm.
And they are in a similar, this is where the two things kind of congeal. They are in a similar trick bag of people they'll joke about, well, they do it just for clicks. Obviously, when we're talking about free media in our case and subscription media in theirs, obviously we want you to listen to what it is that we do. And everyone has their own line on what they're willing to do or sacrifice to try and convince you to listen. When it comes to the Athletic, I was disappointed because that was one of the reasons I bought in on the Athletic is because we were getting this incredible stuff from James that he was doing. You talk about granular White Sox coverage.
Beautiful stuff.
And honestly, it's stuff that most newspapers weren't doing. And because the bandwidth is so wide that there was an opportunity, if James needed to go 2,500 words on a prospect's delivery, he could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they could integrate the video and all of that other stuff that they have done at the Athletic. I just know that the White Sox coverage is going to be a reflection of their popularity, and it sucks for them because they're not very popular right now. And it sucks for us because even when their popularity wasn't high, there were people like Daryl there covering the team to let you know, hey, you might want to pay attention to this, 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 and this.
Yeah, I think that's all well said. It is a shifting landscape of baseball media, and I know how much I read Jim Margulis and James Fegan. I know how I will follow the work of Scott Merkin and take everything that I can from the MLB.com stuff. And I know how much I will put into learning what I can and hopefully talking to guests from the White Sox themselves on Hit and Run, which starts this Sunday morning. And even just recording the promo the other day, it's like we are blessed to have two teams. And I have always believed that. And it's lucky to have this much time and space to do it, and we'll do our part to fill in the blanks of some of this coverage.
We're going to find out a little bit more on Grady Little because Brent Venables, a Boomer Sooner, next on The Score.
UNC's offense with a little life under Trubisky. At that time, though, a loss of a yard. Stephon Anthony and Grady Jarrett, two of the leaders on this Clemson defense. Hand it off to David Williams. And I think he's short. Grady Jarrett plugging up the hole.
Brent Venables calls Grady Jarrett the best defensive player on his team, hands down, and that's knowing that you have number three, Vic Beasley, as we see South Carolina lining up to go for it right here.
Williams has time, checks down to Morris, And Morris wrapped up right at the line of scrimmage. That's Grady Jarrett, who defensive coordinator Brent Venables said is the best defensive player on this Clemson D.
Yeah, Grady Jarrett is a multi-champion wrestler, and that shows up in his game. He is almost impossible to get that young guy off his feet.
Brent Venables is one of the best defensive minds in football. He is the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners, and he coached Grady Jarrett and Tommy Harris.
Dude, he's coached some big-time defensive tackles, some three techniques. We can get context and information from Brent Venables, and we're excited about it. And he joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. What's up, Coach? Thanks for the time.
Hey, man, appreciate you guys having me on.
Okay, we need to know as much as you can tell us and you're willing to share about why you love Grady Jarrett.
Oh, man, he's one of the most ferocious competitors I've ever been around. He's the same guy every day. He's playing like it's, he lives with a fourth and one mindset. And I think probably his best quality that he had as a player is he was a multiplier. He just made everybody around him better through how he led, his focus, his intensity, his passion for the game, he wouldn't be afraid to call a brother out, but there's probably his best qualities. He would call him up, but he's a doer, he's a worker, and just he has a relentlessness that, man, it's hard to put a value on.
So did you see it right away? I hadn't realized that he is the son of the Atlanta Falcon Ring of Honor linebacker Jesse Tuggle. So we're talking about some lineage. So you saw it right away, probably, Coach.
Yeah, you know, without question, you know, he's one of the first players I met when I went to Clemson. He was a freshman, and he came up to me, wanted to reassure me, all barrel chested, and said, "Hey, man, we got you. All right, we got you." And that's how it was. It was player led. Grady just amazing. But you know, he was a state champion wrestler down in South Georgia. As tough as they come. I love guys that are wrestlers. That if anybody knows what it's like to stand in the ring and nobody's going to come save you, it's all about you. And it's Grady Jarrett and his wrestlers. And so he just got some special qualities to him. Certainly, his dad was one of the best to ever do it, and Jesse Tuggle. But, man, he's wired different. And his mama, she is the absolute best. Miss Lisa, she was at every practice on every Thursday while Grady was at Clemson. And she wasn't there to hug his neck. She was there to tell him what he wasn't doing right. And so best mama you could have.
Now, Coach, look, you obviously have your own team to worry about, and you have a bunch of great players that have made it to the NFL. So I know it's hard to keep your eye on every one of them, but I'd just love to know from someone who knows defense the way that you do, how do you hope defensive players, people who get after the quarterback, how do you hope they evolve as they go on with their careers, and where have you seen the evolution in Grady?
Well, again, just his qualities that he has are things that you can't put a value on. You can't coach. His will, his love for the game, his passion, his fundamentals, and his feet, and they are just elite. His ability to take away and reduce surface and play, 8 inches off the ground, his ability to leverage people and keep his feet moving and play vertical are just special. He's violent with his hands, but his movement and his ability just to feel his block wreck are just elite. And but the things that you can't coach, man, is desire to get to the football, man, and make it happen. Population at the football. Everybody loves to play with Grady. He's a special guy, man.
Once I had a chance, Coach, to ask Rod Marinelli about three technique tackles and ask him, are they – can you just turn somebody into a three technique, or do you need to find somebody who's naturally suited for it, you know, because I'm thinking about Warren Sapp and stuff like that. What makes a great three technique tackle to you, Coach?
Yeah, suddenness, quickness, twitchiness, disruptiveness, ability to get off the ball and play really fast, like fast eyes, fast hands, fast feet. The reactionary time of a elite three technique is just special. So at the end of the day, the game for a great three technique happens in slow motion. You know, they just see things so fast and they react accordingly.
Oklahoma head coach Brent Venables joining us here on The Score as we talk a little bit about Grady Jarrett and defense overall. What's the challenge now? Like for defensive guys, what's the challenge with the offenses and the type of athletes that you're dealing with at both the D1 level and at the NFL level?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, the offenses are finding ways to create leverage through lots of the quick motions and snapping the ball and all those pinch sets, you know, inside out motions across the ball motions and finding all different types of ways to create leverage in both the passing game, the throwing game, and the running game, and to gain leverage on, you know, the defenses. So if you can get some of the, you know, if they can neutralize your best inside players by, you know, getting into pinch sets and throwing the ball quick and getting into a nice rhythm, but also getting into pinch sets to run the football, I think offenses are more effective than they ever been at doing that.
Well, that's interesting. So you know, should you be moving around defensive linemen more, like trying to control the line of scrimmage, control that those matchups as best you can?
Well, again, I mean, it's easier said than done. But one of the reasons they get into those pinch sets so much, you see everybody does it to run it and throw it. It's hard to press those. And then, you know, back in the day, you just play cover two coverage to it, but now they can just put your flat defenders in such compromising positions. And so, you know, in back in the day, the pinch sets were all the different types of ways to throw the football. Now everybody's running the football out of those. And so it just makes it harder than ever to create edges to the defense and really good stuff by the offense.
So when we learned about the three technique, it was really a newer type of situation. It was when Tommy Harris was the dude here. And, you know, what was it like coaching compare Tommy Harris to Grady Jarrett? That will probably add some context for our Bears fans listeners, Coach.
Well, Tommy was just a slightly bit longer than Grady. But, man, were they so comparable when it comes to the talent and the explosiveness, the disruptiveness, their ability to play vertical. I'll say this. I think Grady can play both vertical and then lateral like a really athletic Mike Backer when you're talking about making plays at the bottom of the numbers. And if I could give Grady as big a compliment as you could get from a defensive lineman standpoint, I would be curious to see what is the percentage of his tackles that he has made in his career at the bottom of the numbers. That to me would be a reflection of his effort and passion at chasing the football. And I don't care where that ball is thrown or where it's run, Grady Jarrett is a true sideline to sideline defensive tackle. And when have you heard that about a defensive tackle? You just don't. Another player that played for us at Clemson that I think had maybe the most tackles a year ago prior to getting – 2 years ago prior to getting hurt was Christian Wilkins, that made the most tackles on the bottom of the numbers. I think Grady was right next to him at making that – that amount of tackles. Damn. At the bottom of the numbers. But just talk to you about, man, the guy just loves it. Now you can pay him as much as you want to pay him. That guy, he would do it for free. He would do it for free.
Who are the best defensive players you ever coached? Because you just rattled off a few of them right there.
I don't know. I've been blessed far beyond what I deserve. I'd be doing so many guys an injustice if I started naming, you know, the elite players, you know, and my favorites. So, listen, there's been a whole bunch of them, and a lot of them are playing the NFL now. But I've been blessed down what I deserve. But Grady Jarrett he's probably one or two. And I say that because of what, you know, he took a defense when he got to Clemson that was pretty uneven. And then, you know, three short years later, we were number one in college football in like 18 categories, the first time that's been done, you know, in 20 plus years. And he did that, he put the whole team on his back and everybody followed. His senior year, we had eight senior starters. We had, and this is a true story, somebody on draft day, we had Vic Beasley was a first rounder and Stephon Anthony on that defense that were first rounders that same year. And they said that, so one of the GMs from a school called and said, should we take Vic Beasley in the first round? And I said, yeah, you should take Vic Beasley in the first round. But if you're asking me who I would take first in the first round, I said, it's Grady Jarrett. And I know they kind of snickered. And they said, well, why would you take Grady Jarrett in the first round? Of course, you know, he had the measurables of a fourth or fifth rounder. And I said, because Grady Jarrett's going to change your locker room. I said, Vic Beasley is going to win you a game, but Grady Jarrett's going to change your locker room. And that's what he did for the Atlanta Falcons. You know, he's a pillar in the locker room. He's a multiplier in every way. You know, he was the NFL Man of the Year. You know, he's a captain from the jump, and he did. He elevated, you know, the Falcons defense. I think in his rookie year, I think he had three sacks in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady. Man, he's a dude of dudes. That's all I would say. Whatever they're paying him, you can't pay that guy enough.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you jumping on with us, and thank you so much for giving us a true scouting report on Grady and what the Bears are getting. And thanks for the time, and good luck to you this season, too.
Hey, I appreciate y'all, man. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Coach.
That is Brent Venables.
Let's go!
You're fired up now, aren't you?
It's the fifth anniversary of Les's passing, right? Is that today? I do believe. And right there, I'm pretty sure it is.
We have the menu from
I think it's in February.
Yesterday? Something was the fifth.
I think it's like a month ago.
Yeah, we keep the what do you call this speaks for a Jewish funeral? The
Shabbat?
No, it's not Shabbat. It's a program.
That was my favorite Cyndi Lauper song, Shabbat.
The program from Les's funeral. Yeah, says,
I accidentally called it the menu.
Services were January 20th, 2022. Yeah. So okay. Almost.
So,
very close.
Tanny, do you remember on March 11th of 2022 when Speaks went for Les's funeral and nobody was there?
Oh, God.
So it's the 5-year anniversary of Speaks going.
There was a Grobstein thing from Mitch just today.
I just personally like the interviews where we kind of have to convince Speaks to do the interview. And then he's like, why didn't we have Brent Venables on earlier?
Today would have been Les Grobstein's birthday. This from Mitch Rosen earlier today. We miss him. So
you had it reversed because you had it as his death day.
Yeah, my bad. So that's why I had to squeeze in the newer type of situation. That was for Les. So shout out to Les on his birthday.
Shout out to Les. I just, you know, want to be careful that you don't put yourself in a sound bite where you sound like you don't know what's going on.
Thanks for outing me that I was not looking forward to Brent Venables and then thought it was among the greatest things we've done.
I didn't know that. And that's bad.
Here's how you can tell.
You were looking forward to it.
You can always tell when he's like, why are we talking to this guy?
It's just I needed to be taught.
You're right, Ryan.
I needed to be given context.
We got to talk baseball and the Cubs are on their way to Japan.
Somebody's not though and it sucks.
It's not us. Kind of. Back after this on The Score.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's A-L-M-A-C-I-D. NASED.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.